Okay. Our number's out. We have several who are not feeling well, so we miss them. But we're going to have a lesson on servitude. And if you look back through your memory banks, how many times have you heard a lesson on servitude? Probably not very many. And I know I rarely hear sermons about it, so I'm about the only one who does these lessons on servitude that I'm aware of, but probably others have touched on points of servitude because we are supposed to be servants. And a true Christian is a servant. And a lot of times when you say, what is a true Christian? Well, child of God, saved, and other things come to mind. But one of the few things that rarely comes up is a true Christian is a servant. And that's what they're supposed to be. And we should desire to be a servant. If we're going to be what God wants us to be, that's what we need to do. We need to be a servant of God. And so Romans 6:16 tells us, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. There's no third option. There's no other option here. You're either going to be servants of death or servants of righteousness. And sin or righteousness, that's the only choice. There is no middle ground. There's no neutral territory. And every child of God is to understand the principle of servitude. If you don't understand the principle of servitude, then you're not really fitting in to be what God wants you to be. And so I think it's very important we need to learn this. A lot of people want to be served. And like Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve others. And so, and some points we need to make is the fact that we should know that servitude in the scriptures was equivalent to slavery. However, there were differences. And 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, for you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God with your body. And so we are the temple of God, and we need to glorify God with our body. And so that's what we do. And yes, glorifying God is a form of servitude. And so we do that. So just like slaves are bought and sold, so we have been bought and sold. And so we need to make that connection. And then, of course, we are not forced to serve God against our own will. Unlike what took place in this country a century and a half ago. I mean, no, we don't buy people and force them into servitude. Not in this country. I mean, some people feel like they're treated like slaves. I mean, I heard an NFL player who happens to make definitely a six-figure sum every year say, oh, they treat us like slaves. You have a choice, dude. Retire. Quit. Don't go anymore. You have that choice. Slaves didn't have that choice. And so, anyway, we're not forced to serve God. But if we do serve God, we should do it willingly, and we should do that. We're not forced to submit to God. And, of course, that would destroy our free will. He gives us free will, or free moral agency, as some people put it. We're able to decide, am I going to do this or not? Even if I know it is right or wrong, I have the choice. Will I do it? And so the reality is that we choose who we're going to serve. We're either going to serve God or we're going to serve Satan. I mean, there is nothing else. One or the other. Just like Jesus said, you're either with me or against me. And so it is best if we willingly submit to him. There's a lot of blessings associated with that and being involved in what God wants us to do. And so, I mean, that works out best for us in the long run. And it will work out best for others if we're able to teach them these principles. See, our spiritual service of worship is that which proves in us the will of God. That which is good and acceptable and perfect, Romans 12 and verse 2. And so that's what it is. And we are to perform duties to God. We know we're created in Christ Jesus for good works, Ephesians 2:10. And we're to perform these duties for God. God created them that we should so walk in them and do them. And so we do, as Christians, have obligations and responsibilities to God. And so our service should be considered a privilege and a great honor. To be able to serve the God of heaven should be a great honor. It should be a privilege. We should never feel like we're just a slave. We just have to do the work and maybe it will be okay. Maybe they won't kill us or anything. No, it is a great honor to serve God, and we should treat it as such. And this is in consideration of what God has done for us. When you consider, what has he done for us? He knew that sinners would not be acceptable to him, so he provided for us. See, all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. And Romans 3:23 tells us that. And our sins, known as our iniquities, separate us from God. Isaiah 59 and verse 2. And without something in the form of grace, redemption, and propitiation, we could never have a relationship with God. Because God is light, and in him is no darkness at all, and sin is darkness. So we cannot, it's impossible to have a relationship with God if you have sin in your life. And so we could not call him our Father, which is in heaven. And a lot of people call him God the Father, but they don't live according to his ways. So they're just fake in what they're doing. They don't understand. And we know that while we were yet sinners, God sent his Son that we may have eternal life. John 3:16, Romans 5:8 tells us that also. Our willingness to submit to God by obeying his commandments is what brings about our salvation. Yes, that's it. We cannot have salvation without our obedience. It's impossible to do that. And then people get out there and tell you that all you need is faith. No, obedience is so important. I mean, faith is an act of obedience. I mean, there's just no other way of saying that. And so they want to say, well, the faith saves, grace saves, God saves. But they usually leave out obedience. Because when you say, well, which commands do I need to obey? I mean, the obvious answer is all of his commands. But they've already ignored most of God's word anyway, so they're never going to include obedience as a factor in salvation. And so we realize that. If you study God's word, you realize it is very important, so that's why we emphasize it. And by learning obedience, Jesus became the source of eternal salvation. Hebrews 5:8-9. He learned it through the things which he suffered. Yeah, we go through things. We suffer through trials and tribulations. And we do this, and we have to learn that our dependence is not upon ourselves, but upon God. And so in that, Jesus came to do the will of God. He showed himself to be an example to all of his followers. Peter said he's our perfect example. And Jesus came to do the will of the Father. And in Colossians 3:24, Paul writes, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. He's talking to faithful Christians here. This is where their situation is. They're going to receive the reward, just like we are going to receive the reward. But yet we also realize that is only as long as I remain faithful. Jesus said, as long as you remain faithful, be faithful until death, and you'll receive that crown of life. So just having a one time, once saved, always saved, and you can go about your life doing what you want, no, that doesn't cut it. We can receive the reward of the inheritance if we may remain strong and true to his word and doing the service that he asked us to do. So, although we do not usually consider the Holy Spirit one to be served, we do so when we take his work and apply it to our lives. Now, the work of the Holy Spirit, and we recognize the Holy Spirit is part of that Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. And he is God in himself. But yet, as we realize that when we study and meditate upon the Word of God, we realize the Holy Spirit gave this to us as He was directed by God and Christ. Now, we talk about Christ being Lord and Master. Christ told us Himself in John chapter 12, verse 48, I did not speak on my own initiative, but I spoke only what the Father told me to say. I think that's 47, verse 47. But anyway, Jesus didn't come speaking whatever was on His mind, whatever He felt like saying. The Holy Spirit doesn't either, because they're all one with God. And so we can actually say whether it's the Holy Spirit, whether it's Jesus Christ, whether it is God the Father, they're all God. And so we do that. So God tells us how we're supposed to live, even though we read the work of the Holy Spirit in the Scriptures tells us how we're supposed to live. There is no distinction there. The Bible is the Word of God. The Bible is the message from God. And we need to treat it as such. So many people in this world have just outright rejected the Bible, or they reject a good portion of it, or they reject the parts they don't like. God said through the prophet, the entirety of your word is truth. Psalm 119, verse 160. And so we have to take it all. It's all the Word of God. As Jesus said, thy word is truth. And so when we allow the work of the Holy Spirit to permeate and infiltrate our very being, then we are in a sense becoming His servant. So that's speaking of the Holy Spirit. When we allow the words of the Bible to infiltrate into our lives, when we take them in, several benefits from this. Psalm 119, verse 11, thy word have I planted in my heart that I might not sin against you. James 1:22, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. And so we take God's word, put it in us. What do we do when we put it in us? Well, folks, we got to let it out. And that's a lesson which a lot of people haven't gotten yet. All they want to take it in, they take it in all the time. They study, they learn and do this stuff. They take it in, but they don't let it out. And that's a problem. And God has a problem with that. We'll see that in a little bit. In essence, we serve God, we serve Christ and the Holy Spirit. I mean, there's a word for that. That's deity. I mean, that's what it is. And of course, many of those in the church feel very confident that they serve deity as mentioned above. I mean, we all feel that way. Yes, I serve God. I serve the Christ. I listen to the Holy Spirit. So chalk one up for me. I'm happy with that. Is that enough? No. You know me well enough to know that's not enough. We're going to cover some more things. See, many feel that upon doing their duty to deity, then deity will reward them. For the majority of Christians, this is all the service they ever offer. All the service they ever offer, they show up to church, say their platitudes, sing the songs, listen to the lesson, and then get out of here. And they have done their duty to God, and they have their minds made up that, oh, I get to go to heaven now. Folks, we're about to learn some things that, no, that's far from it. It's not going to happen. But there are two other things which deserve our service, and we are to serve these. And I would suggest that we rethink our application of service being only in an upward direction and apply the word to the original intent of being outward as well. In other words, outward. Well, what does that involve? Who are we talking about? Obviously, servitude obviously excludes me. Some people just want to serve themselves. And that's a term for that is called selfishness. And that is not acceptable to God. Selfishness is sin. No matter how you look at it, I mean, it is sin if you do it. Unless your selfishness wants you to do the things of God. Okay, we'll make an exception there. But most of the time when people are serving themselves, selfishness is involved and pride is involved as well. And so it excludes me as the recipient of my service. So If it excludes me from my service, and we're not talking about service to God, who are we talking about? Jesus said we must deny ourselves and take up our cross daily in order to follow him. Well, a lot of us feel like, well, we've done that. We deny ourselves. We follow Jesus. And we're meant to serve and not be served, just like Jesus said. Folks, we're not here to be served. A lot of people, they come in acting like, well, you got to cater to me. You got to fulfill my wants. I want to hear certain types of preaching, so you better give that to me or I'll go somewhere else. And all sorts of things like that. Some people just want that little gold star next to their name that they showed up. And they want people to say, oh, we're glad to see you here today. I mean, that should be something we say to each other every time we're here. But we don't get that opportunity with a lot of people. And so we are to serve each other. I mean, we go through and talk about our human relationships. We are put on this earth to serve each other, not to be served by them. In Romans 6:6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. We should not be serving sin. Serving sin is getting involved in sin. Serving sin is showing approval for sin. And anything that is sinful and evil in the sight of God. I mean, tolerating it, putting up with it. We shouldn't even be doing that. And so, Jesus also said that serving two masters was impossible. And that's very true. If we claim to serve Christ, then we no longer are to be involved in sin. If, however, we continue to sin, we are not serving Christ. I mean, that's just so obvious. But yet, some people, they don't want to give up their sin. They don't want to give up their ways, and they're comfortable in their ways, and so they have to make exceptions somehow to what Jesus says, to what God says. And so they just don't listen to what they say. They just look for this passage, well, God's grace covers it all, so you're okay. And a lot of people, I mean, oh yeah, you're okay. You practice this, which God calls an abomination. Hey, no problem. God still loves you anyway. That is the wrong message to teach people. To teach people how to be saved, you tell them, get rid of your sin. If we continue in sin, we're not dead to sin. And so, it is impossible to continue in sin and serve Christ. There's just no other way of saying it. It is impossible. And even then, we read in Hebrews 10:26, if we sin willfully, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin. That's a very sobering passage that really, you know, a lot of people think, well, I'll just go ahead and sin. I'll ask for forgiveness later. Folks, that's treading on very dangerous ground. It's one of those slippery slopes. We don't need slippery slopes. See, our actions will tell Christ if we are serving him or if we're serving sin. That's right. How we live, how we behave, the things we do in our flesh, the things we do in our mind. This tells Christ who we're actually serving. I mean, it's one thing to show yourself up at church and say, okay, I serve Christ on Sunday morning, and then the rest of the week you're serving Satan. Well, God's not going to be fooled. It says God is not mocked. Galatians 6:6-7. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he shall also reap. And so Galatians 1:10, Paul wrote, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. See, even Paul's saying, you can't serve Christ and men. You've got to make a choice, and we all have to make that choice. We cannot serve sin and the things of this world and still claim to be a servant of Christ. It is impossible, and we cannot do that. And so how do we serve Jesus? Well, Jesus is to be the Lord of our life, so we allow him to be our Lord. And we submit to him by doing his commandments. And we do that. We make the commitment to serve him and follow him. And we humble ourselves before him as he is greater than us. And so we recognize that. And if we expect him to save us, we know that it is only on his terms. So we have to be committed to him, and we need to do so 100%. I was reading a quote from Alcoholics Anonymous, and they were saying 100%. If you're not 100% committed to making sure you live right, then you become on a slippery slope. If you're on 99% committed, you're already on that slippery slope. So folks, we need that 100% effort to serve God on his terms. That means we got to learn what his terms are and then make sure we conform to that. All right, by being our Savior, he becomes our God, our Lord, our Master, our Leader, our King, our Authority, and our Guide. We could probably throw in a whole bunch more words there to describe the Master, but that's what he is. And we have to live in such a way we tell the world, Jesus is our Lord. He is our King. And we demonstrate that by the way we live. Folks, we are on display. I've said it many times. If you tell your coworkers you're a Christian, you are on display and they are watching you. They're watching you with that eagle eye, waiting for you to make that mistake so they can justify their own selves. And so we have to be very special. Like Peter told them, he says, be exemplary in your behavior among the outsiders so that they have nothing to say against you. All right. So if we do not honor Jesus by our obedience, then we are forsaking him. I mean, when anything is given preference over him, then we cannot be his servants. No, we cannot be his disciple. That's what he told us. Anything is more important than me. You cannot be my disciple. He's talking about family. He talked about mother, father, brother, sister. If any one of them is more important, if you allow your family to keep you from serving God, then they become more important to you than God, and you cannot be a disciple of Christ. You cannot be his servant. And if we play politics and do things to be seen by men, we cannot be the servant of Christ. You know the type to get out there, they kind of laze around, goof around, the boss shows up, they're busy, 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 and they're showing the boss, oh, I'm doing a good job. As soon as the boss walks out the door, they sit down, boy, that was hard. And they're that way. On a lot of construction sites, that happens. And when the boss is around, people are working. When the boss isn't around, hey, they're taking a break. See Matthew 4:10. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. There's only one person we should be serving, and that is God. And when we say we should serve God, we should serve Christ, serve the Holy Spirit, we're still talking about the same individual, the Godhead, deity. And that's the only ones that we're supposed to listen to. And Jesus was teaching that Satan could not offer an acceptable substitute for God. And the things of this world cannot offer an acceptable substitute for the things of God. And Jesus, quoting from Scripture, answered Satan, who was asking Jesus to bow down before him. And we should not bow down to this world. We should not cater to this world. We should not give up to this world when the world says you need to be accepting and tolerant of all this evil we're promoting. No, we don't have to be tolerant of it. We have to be concerned for people. I mean, these people are lost. They're promoting these things which God calls an abomination. And the only reason we bring it up is because we care for their soul. We want their soul to go to heaven. We sit back and say, oh, you're okay. They're never going to change. And they're going to suffer the fires of hell. And we should not wish that upon anybody. We should not be so unconcerned. Oh, well, they made their own bed. Let them go. We should always be concerned for souls to try and help them. They probably won't like it if we speak up and tell them what God says, but you know what? We're doing our job, trying to help people get to heaven. See, there's only one God who is worthy of honor and glory and our worship and our servitude. And that is the God of heaven, the God who created this world. And it's not any God which someone can make up in their own minds. That just becomes nothing more than idolatry. And people treat others like humans, like leaders, world leaders, like a god, and something like that. And they honor them. So our servitude is not limited to serving deity. In Galatians 5:13, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love you serve one another. We are here to serve one another. We serve another by teaching one another and encouraging one another, setting an example for one another, and praying for one another. That's how we serve one another. The New Testament is literally filled with passages detailing our duty to our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. See, we have the passages that describe us of being in the same body and having the same head, holding the same faith, being of the same mind, honoring the same God and Lord. And our stewardship that God gives us is to take care of each other. Yes, God gave us certain things we're supposed to take care of. We have our Bibles. We're supposed to treat them as the Word of God. We're supposed to treat them with respect and not treat them like a doorstop or something to level out the table. And so that's we're supposed to treat our Bibles that way. But the Christians, we're children of God. We are possession of God. He bought us with a price. We belong to God. And should we not treat those things with the same respect as the one who owns them? I mean, you can go into someone's house and you see all this stuff. You just going to start trashing it? No. You have respect for the owner. And you're not going to do that. The same way with God. The children of God need to be treated with just as much respect as we would expect to be treated. No question about that. So let us concentrate on those who need the most service, but actually receive the least. Some of you probably have figured out where I'm going with this. These people are the lost. I mean, let's face it. We ignore them a lot. Honestly, we ignore them a lot. And the greatest service to any person would be to show them the light of the gospel and bring them to repentance. I mean, and to afford them the opportunity to go to heaven. Because that's what our job is. Our job is not just to get the people of the church into heaven. Our job is to help the people outside those doors to get to heaven. And in any way that we can. And so, if we look for opportunities like on social media or advertising or whatever we can do, I mean, get people involved and people that we meet, people we can build relationships with. See, Titus 2:11 says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men." And so, we have a few in here, but millions out there. And so, His grace was sent to them as well. We need to recognize that and show them. We need to show them the Christ. Everyone has the opportunity. God's made it available, but most of them just don't take advantage of it. And that's right. You know, God is not willing that any should perish. So what did He do for us? God has given us the tools we need to be saved. 2 Peter 1:3. He's granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Then goes on, beginning verse 5, add to your faith the virtue, the knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. And for as long as you do these things, you'll never fall. And so He's given us the tools we need. The tools are found in the pages of His Bible. And we need to learn that Bible so that we can do those things and teach others those things. Therefore, he sent his son to us to light up the way and show us the door and the path of the way which leads to life. That's what Jesus did, and that's why God sent him to be that way for us. If God made provision for the greatest need that mankind would have, then that should be the one service that we should offer to mankind with God's blessings. Think about that. If we will do what Jesus came to do, to save mankind, if we will do that with others who need it, then God is going to bless us for that. I mean, God's so happy when we do that, when we share the gospel message, whether they listen to it or not, whether it goes in one ear and out the other, or whether it gets in there and then just kind of bubbles around in their heart. I mean, we never know. You may meet somebody one time, just say something, and you don't know if what you might say might inspire them to start looking things up on the internet and learning some things about God. Don't hold it back. Yes, we're talking about personal evangelism. Now, evangelism is not really the problem with many in the church today. See, many in the church today have a problem with the personal evangelism. And we know that. I mean, many are just tickled pink their preacher preaches the truth on all Bible subjects. Oh yeah, our preacher, he's a good preacher. He preaches the truth on everything. I mean, they're happy about that. Many feel very good that they support the work of the church by their contribution. Oh, I'm contributing to the work of the church here in the preaching of the gospel. And many delight in the fact that their churches sponsor, support evangelists and foreign works. Yeah, some churches do. I mean, who knows? Maybe someday we will. But, that's great to be involved in that stuff to help souls be saved. Because let's face it, if we're not going to save souls here, we should at least be helping others do their job of saving souls. I mean, that still doesn't take our responsibility away from us individually. But yet, these people have no problem telling you how great it is to be a servant of God, but then they say, but don't ask me to get involved in evangelism. Oh, leave me alone. Here I am, Lord, send somebody else. I mean, we've heard that phrase before as well. I mean, since they do not want to do what God has asked them to do, they demonstrate they are not interested in helping others get to heaven. And that's really what it all boils down to. If you don't care about people's souls, you're not going to say a word to them. I mean, just think about that. If you have an opportunity, we're not going to have we interact with people all the time. Maybe the grocery clerk or something like that. They're busy doing their job. We may not have much of an opportunity, but we can say, be blessed, or we can say, God bless you, or something like that. We can do things like that. And probably we have been avoiding that because, oh, they're going to think I'm a Christian. They're going to think I'm weird, or I'm one of those Bible beaters or something. I don't want people to think that about me. I mean, what's it going to be, folks? Are we going to do what God asked us to do? Are we going to conform to the way the world wants us just to shut up and leave them alone? See, the real problem is that many are not servants of God, but of Satan. Even in the church. And how can we know this? Well, Jesus said, John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. What did he command us? Go teach. Go teach the gospel. To who? Everybody. All right. Jesus taught by example that our service is to others. We should be serving others. And if we only try to service or serve God, we're neglecting the needs of those who need God. Our brethren need God. Sometimes our brethren need some encouragement. They need to be lifted up. And we're supposed to do that. And sometimes we need to admonish them if necessary. But yet, some people think, well, as long as I serve God, I've done my duty, I'm going to go to heaven. Whoopee. I mean, that's basically how they treat it. See, Jesus said to go teach, preach, baptize, and teach the lost. We need to be involved in that in whatever way we can. Like I say, we have the avenue of social media. We can do that. Get on there and do messages on there. Send scriptures through social media. I mean, most people on here have social media. There's a few dinosaurs that don't, but most of us have the social media, and we can do that. Share messages. Some of you do, and that's good. And so we can do that. We can teach others. And you don't know. Like I said, you don't know if you might touch someone's heart. And you may never find out. Sometimes you might find out that, okay, you touched someone's heart many years ago and they obeyed the gospel. Maybe now they're even preaching the gospel. I mean, that's a great feeling to know that you assisted somebody on the right pathway, to get them off of the wrong pathway onto the right pathway. That is a good feeling to have. And so Jesus did not send us to be to the saved, but to the lost. Yes, we have to, the saved, we need to encourage them, teach them, guide them, teach them how to teach others. And that's what we should be doing. I mean, we should be learning about how to bring up words, look for opportunities. I mean, someone says something and something ought to pop in your mind that say, yeah, you know what? I was just reading that in the book of Romans the other day. Something very similar to what you just said. Now, they might look at you strange, but who knows? They might go home or they might go to a hotel and look up their Gideon's Bible and see if they can see, okay, what is he talking about? All right. And then Jesus himself came to seek and save that which was lost. That was his purpose. The purpose of Jesus was to save souls. The purpose of God is to save souls. The purpose of the Holy Spirit by giving us the Bible is to save souls. The purpose of our obedience is to save souls. Yes, ours, but also the souls of others. We're not just supposed to take it and wrap it up and say, all right, salvation is mine. I'm going to keep it all to myself. We've got to share it. Share it with others so they can have that opportunity to be saved. See, if we do not serve the lost by teaching them the error of their way, then we are not obedient to Jesus Christ. If we are not obedient to Jesus Christ, what else is left? One or the other. We're either servant of Christ or servant of Satan. One or the other. There's no other territory. There is no neutral in there. There's no in between. One or the other. There's only one other choice. You serve Satan, although maybe you don't mean to. And most people don't want to serve Satan, but because of their lack of obedience, they are. They need to be woken up and reminded, hey, you're serving the wrong one. We serve God, Christ, Holy Spirit. We serve deity. I mean, that's an upward focus that we have about serving them. And we serve each other. That's the outward focus. And then the outward focus needs to expand farther outward to the lost. That's where we need to serve them. And failure to serve in any one of these areas will leave us unfit for the Master's kingdom. Yeah, I said it. I really believe that. If we fail to serve in any one of these areas, we are unfit for the Master's kingdom. And he's not going to tell us, well done, good and faithful servant. So, are you ready to be a servant for the Master? And I hope you are. And so, like I said, it's a lesson we need to hear. We don't hear it enough. But it needs to be spoken and it needs to be spread out. And so, we can do that now. So consider these things, and we're going to sing the invitation song. If anyone has a need to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.